Baduism and you go and listen to another album, R&B, a woman R&B album from the same year, they all had the same core elements, but certain people just got marketed as, you know, mm-hmm. another subgenre. Just for radio format.
Right.
I mean, the other thing, though, is like, you know, both Erica and D'Angelo were managed by Kadar Massenburg, mm-hmm. who actually did coin the term neo-soul. So he knew
right.
what he was doing. You know what I mean?
Right. Trying to get their money.
Right.
And the thing about Maxwell, you know, which is interesting, this one thing I talk about in my upcoming 90s R&B book is, you know, his whole urban hang suite was sitting on the shelf for like a year.
Yeah, Columbia shelved there for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until D'Angelo hit, and then they were like, oh, I guess people
will
listen to something that, with a black guy playing instruments, and then they decided mm-hmm. to go with it. So it's kind of like,
exactly,
you know, it becomes a trend just because mm-hmm. of, I guess, one person going through. But to me, Mama's Gun, what it meant to me, the minute I put that, you know, before it had cover art or anything, the minute I played that promo, like, Penitentiary Philosophy says to me, the first guitar says to me, that's the end of neo-soul. You know what I mean? Like, to me, she
exactly.
was trying to communicate
yeah.
to everybody. It was like 2000, you know, she was trying to communicate to everybody that this thing that you think of before, this kind of laid-back jazz cafe R&B type feel, whatever you thought it was, it ain't it anymore. I'm going to play these guitars. I'm going to put on a LaBelle, like, space suit and did you know video and walk through the desert. You know, so I think she was very subconsciously going, like, this is not the Earth Mother, easy to listening type stuff you may have come to associate neo soul.
Right.
I'm on a whole
and she's still fighting that.
Right.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree with both. I couldn't agree with you more. I agree. QLM, me too. And I tell you why. Because remember when EB started talking about Erica, he said R&B. So now neo soul is gone. So that where do they fit? Like, you can't define it. Like, you know, a reggae. Go-go even has a distinction to it, right? But neo-soul, no.
Yeah, neo-soul doesn't have a distinctive. It, like, you
That's
compare
right.
it, you say D'Angelo, Maxwell, none of it, in order for it to be a genre, it has to have a specific sound. It can't be a specific sound if she's leaning more of funk. Like, I can hear Ohio Players on that album. I can hear this. Like, you can't say that
that's right.
this is neo soul when every artist that y'all call neo soul do not sound alike. And I'm saying this as a musician, none of it is the same. And
that could be argued because that's very true, but it's like if you go back and listen to a lot of R&B in the 90s or even the 80s, like none of that sounds the same, but everything still gets put into
that's right.
you know, that's the general
no,
genre.
I'm saying
go ahead.
That specific thing, like with New Jack Swing, you knew what it was. Like the certain way Teddy Riley played that, like you could say that, okay, that's New Jack Swing, what that was. You can't say that about neo. So R&B, you can, that's such a broad thing because you can see gospel, you can see jazz, house, like you can add those things as being an additional part of that genre, but neo soul is not a subgenre because it's not nothing new. In order for that word neo for it to be new, they would have to come. It's not new because they were basically take it like you can't play Send It On and be like, oh, that's a neo soul right there. No, because it's an exact replicate of Sea of Tranquility by Kool & the Gang. Like, listen to Kool & the Gang. It's not a sample.
Right.
They're playing the whole record.
But that's the distinction right there is these are live instruments as opposed to computer
yeah,
programming.
Yeah, that's the only difference.
And Maxwell
actually said it because I told him that. I was like, yo, the only thing different of that was that at the time, gangster rap, like Death Row, Bad Boy Records, like that was, if you wasn't making records like that, it wasn't really getting on the radio, even though you had R&B artists that were out at the time. But gangster rap was so hot then, like that, whatever subgenre R&B that was, it became popular, and it was on the radio. I heard it everywhere. And he was like, yeah, that's what it was. And even Bilal, like, he can't, like, he told me, he said, if anybody calls his music neo soul, he said, go cuss you out. Like, I'm just saying that I'm more so on the sides of the artists that don't want to take that word, and because they tell me they don't like the word. Marcia Ambrosia told me she don't like neo be labeled that. And that's the thing. I respect what they're saying, because you can't really get move forward and want to hear a new album from them if you're still stuck in 97, want to hear Badu all the time. Like, they progress and they evolve. Like, that's what I take from Neo, so that's why I get passionate about it, because being in the industry, like, when you play in a certain, when you're inspired by these artists, that's what they label my shit as, and I'd be getting mad, because I'm like, this shit ain't no Neo, so it's just music. It's not. But yeah, that's the whole thing. I don't want to get to a whole conversation. I gotta write an editorial or something about it. Be like, Neo Soul is not a genre. That's gonna be my tagline. Neo Soul is not a genre, and then have people click on it, because I'm tired of it.
Hey, people click. That's a good click line.
Yeah, I'm like, Neo Soul is not a genre. That's it. I gotta finally write it, because I got so much passion built up from it. I get tired of having these conversations. But
we hear the passion.
Just real quick. We went over a little bit, but that's fine. Craig, let them know what are you working on right now, if you want to share with the audience, before we go.
Yeah, like a whole lot. Like, all of a sudden, you know how, like, you know, in high school, maybe you used to not get no dates, and then all of a sudden you packed up, you're like, what? But, first thing that's going to come out is my, is kind of like a critical biography of Janet Jackson, looking at her.
Oh, I've been waiting for this, man.
Yeah. And that I'm putting out myself, and it's just like, you know, because I'm doing it myself, just because I want to do it myself, it's just, you know, everything is a little bit, every obstacle takes a little bit longer, but that's coming. And then after that, it's going to be a history of 90s R&B, where I'm taking it year by year, and I'm talking about how the music moved from, you know, the new Jack Swing through the hip-hop soul and whatever, you know. I might quote your article, if you read your article I said about how Neo Soul is not a job, but just that whole thing, just so that we, because so often, as, you know, in terms of black music, we don't have our history told in an epic type of way. You know, we get an artist biography here and there, we might get an article, but I want a book. You know, everybody talks about 90s R&B, I want a book that's like a source material that people can refer to, people can get some facts from, people can get some context from. And so that's the next book, and that's going to be a Chicago Review Press. And then after that, I'm writing, I don't know if you're familiar with those little short 33rd books that just focus on one album, but I'm doing one of those on LaBelle's Nightbird, because I've always wanted to write something about LaBelle. So
listen, I'm here for it all. When, can you say
that? Then I'm taking a nap.
Can you say the release date now, or is it still on hold?
I mean, you know, it's still is on hold, and then I have to write the stuff. But, like, the Janet is written. The Janet, I'm in the editing phase.
No, that's
like,
the one I'm talking about. Can you say the release date?
Yeah, there's not a specific release date. Like, as soon as I put the final little marketing, I go through Grammarly a couple more times. You know what I mean? Like, it's imminent. You know, I would like to have it out even before the end of the year, but we'll see. But it's gonna be it's gonna be like a Beyonce drop. It's gonna be like, okay, y'all, it's here. This is the link.
I feel you.
I'm going to sleep for the next month. You know.
Listen, I am going. Listen, because I enjoy. Listen, I told you, your writing is so compelling. Not just like you writing about certain artists, but you give us the. Because when you were talking about the artists, like, you know, people don't really respect the craft of it and how hard it is to put out the music. But you get behind the personality, not just the personality, but just who they were and what time period they were in when they were influenced. And I feel like that's the most important thing with reading those books, like that biography books, is like getting that history, like the way you did the Luther Vandross book. Like, you put me right in that time period, and I feel like that's what great writing is really telling that story and making it feel like it could be a biopic on a film biopic, because that's how I was reading it. Like I feel like I knew Luther, like I was his third cousin or something, you know, somewhere in the family.
Yeah, because I think that this service we do to so many people, to so many artists, this kind of relates to a lot of things that we've been talking about, and sort of goes back to the underrated, underappreciated thing. The disservice we do to every single artist is to think that anybody's trajectory was obvious and that anything was meant to be, when really it was all like sweat, blood, happenstance, luck here, the right song here, the right producer, the right thing. All of it was so random. And like, what I try to do in my writing is really give respect to that journey, because so many people don't make it. So many people want to be the queen of hip-hop soul and don't make it between.
Yes.
So many people want to make Mama's Gun and never even get to be a mama. You know what I mean? So it's like,
right.
And nobody gets the gun registration. So it's like, I try to give, it's not, you know, it's not all promise. And I try to give the story of how it all came to, just like we're all miracles, just being here, just existing and just making it to the age we are and all that kind of stuff. I try to infuse that quality into when I talk about artists and their achievements, because like I said, you know, it ain't all promise and it could have gone a million different other really bad ways for everybody.
Man, well, I tell you, I'm waiting for the link. Listen, I still listen to the podcast. That Jody Watley appreciation post, that's probably the best appreciation episode I've ever heard. Like, you, listen, I can't even, listen, man, we got to have you back on in the new year. We gotta talk, man, after the show. Because there's some other stuff I want to rap to you about, but that's an off-air conversation, because I got some other stuff I want to ask you about. But it's off-air conversation. But, man, this was a good time. Let the people know where they can find you on social media.
At Craig's Pop Life, and, you know, on Twitter, and basically every link, you know, from there, whatever. I think I'm easily accessible, so, you know, just, I'm here. And thank you so much for inviting me. I've had so much fun. It doesn't even feel like the time has passed. I've just been sitting back to talking. So
we gotta have you back
you
on.
Because
we didn't get, sure, we gotta get anytime. To the gospel and house music. We gotta do a to be continued on that. Cause I was really want to get to that, but we got so caught up talking about Mama's Gun. But we gonna get to the house and gospel next time you on. But thank you so much for coming
thank
on.
You.
This is a great show. Soul Sadness Radio every Thursday, 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Y'all got a savvy heat and talk before we go?
Grab him by the balls.
Listen, all I got to say is thank you, Craig, for picking Faith Evans over Mary in the last show you were on. I appreciate that.
Hold on, what? How do you remember that?
Yes, you did. You don't remember?
Ooh, I got to pull that tape, but no. What was
listen,
the time? Well, we'll talk about it later.
You said that you were in love with her vocals, but you picked Mary's catalog. But all I needed to hear you say that you love Faith Evans' voice and that you won the game for that. So you picked Faith over Mary in my head.
There she goes again.
Oh, my God.
There she goes
make
again.
Make sure y'all go out and vote y'all in Georgia. We out, y'all.
Hey, Soul Savage Show on Studio W.
The
Buzz.
Mr. Craig Seymour. Thank you again, Mr. Craig Seymour, for coming on. We appreciate you.
Thank
you, Craig.
You for having me.
Loads of fun.
We out, y'all. Time's a wasting. So, damn. We out.
Hey, guys, you guys are waiting on the books. I mean, there's...